22 minutes now after 8. We've now heard that South Africa is developing its own vaccine facility, technical transfer hub, with the French, with the support of the French government. Thank you, Monsieur Macron. Which means that in some time, according to Vigdis, 12 to 18 months or so, South Africa will regularly be receiving or will regularly be producing vaccines. If we look at every country where vaccines have become more prevalent, for example, the United States, which has almost reached population immunity, I think, if we count the 12 to 17-year-olds, or at the very least, they've gotten a long way towards it. And some countries in the EU which have actually reached vaccine immunity, population immunity, you have to start thinking about a world in which corporations, hospitals, office buildings, and even homes start to say, you had the option of being vaccinated, and so I need you to come back to work. We heard that from Arabelia's business report last Friday. Morgan Stanley's CEO saying, y'all have to come back to work. No more working from home. You've had access to the vaccine, and it's time for you to come into the office. And many of those workers saying, well, this working from home thing actually works for me. We want to find out to the extent to which labor law might be affected here in South Africa. Can your boss say to you, for as long as vaccines are available, you must be vaccinated? What rights do you have? Where did the voluntary part fall away? Andy Besuitenhout is the Director of Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr and joins me this morning. Andy, welcome to Breakfast with Rufido. How are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks, Rufido, and thank you for having me.
Of course. As we're ramping up our vaccinations, what is it that you're seeing across the world insofar as labor law is concerned, whether or not we are possibly going to be required to take our vaccines?
We're seeing, and we're also part of a lot of discussions about policies. So all employers are now in the process of assessing their workplaces, seeing what's changing, where does the third wave leave us, but more importantly, what are they going to do about vaccinations and are they going to make it mandatory?
Yes, and are they?
Well, they have the election. So there's a directive that's been issued on the 11th of June by the Department of Labor and in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. And it says that employers have the right to make vaccination policies mandatory, but it also requires them to undertake a risk assessment first. So they need to look at their workforce and they need to have internal discussions and do this risk assessment and then decide based on their operational requirements, firstly, whether they'll be implementing a policy about vaccinations generally, and if so, whether they'll be making vaccinations mandatory. So there's an election that needs to be made. And once that election is made, the employer needs to sit and they need to consult with all the necessary stakeholders in their organization and then come up with this policy and the logistics about how this will be implemented, bearing in mind that there will no doubt be employees in every workplace who may object and who may have valid reasons for objecting. So they also need to think about how they'll be handling that, who those employees would need to speak to, the objections they'll be accepting, and I guess generally the risk that they'll be adopting or that they would be comfortable with in allowing some employees not to be vaccinated, others to be vaccinated, and how all of those logistics will be handled within their workplace.
Andy, I mean, to what extent does it actually matter what the workplace conditions are like insofar as anyone could possibly be infected, even if we all work in isolated office spaces? So I could be infected on my way home doing groceries and therefore present a risk to the corporation. If, for example, my corporation is an airline, my entire sort of day of flights could be grounded, costing me hundreds of millions of dollars on the basis of the fact that I said, well, I don't think that this person is necessarily exposed. Mind you, they got exposed when on their way home, for example. Does that make sense?
It does, but that's exactly the reason why this risk assessment is so important. And I guess it's words that lawyers try to stay away from, but we always say it depends. And in this case, it really does depend. And that's why it's so important to have the discussion internally to assess your workplace specifically and the risk that's being posed to your employees. Some employers may say we have a high-risk environment and for that reason we'll go mandatory. Others may say we have a low-risk environment and everyone's at home in any event, so we're not going to make it mandatory. I think the direction allows employers scope to really have proper discussions with all stakeholders, which would be their health and safety committee and their trade unions where relevant, to discuss and decide on a way forward and to make their proposals for consideration. And it's important that that be done properly as opposed to just implementing blanket policies without giving it much thought, because employers need to be prepared for objections. There will definitely be employees who say, I do not want to do it. And if your policy is well thought through, it would be much easier to defend any dispute that may arise down the line.
Andy, what kind of objection might one be preparing themselves for?
Religious reasons. The direction allows for medical reasons as well, constitutional reasons generally. Some employees may say they don't believe in vaccinations at all. Some may say it has to do with their religion. There may be employees where the ingredients may have an impact on what they believe they're entitled to take or to be vaccinated with. So I think it is quite important that objections must be considered properly, whether your view as an employer and your personal capacity is that you think everyone should be vaccinated or you don't believe in the vaccinations at all. It's important that we respect every employee's right to make a submission or have a response should they feel uncomfortable doing so.
How different is a vaccine from a mask? So as an employer, I can make everybody wear a mask. And I'm curious because there's no pushback, or there doesn't seem to be an allowance for pushback on the basis of religious reasons, individual reasons, the ability to breathe, for example, from wearing a mask. Why can't I just say this is what we have to do?
Because for masks, employers can respond by saying that's the law, where our president was very clear for vaccinations, it won't be mandatory. And that makes it a bit more difficult. Where if an employee tells me I'm not going to wear a mask, in law, the obligation is on the employer to ensure that that mask is worn, and they also have a general obligation to keep their employees safe. So if an employee say they don't want to be vaccinated, that's a different story because they have the right to object. Bearing in mind, although employees may object, the directive is also very clear that should they object, the employer is fully entitled to then make an assessment as to where they can be reasonably accommodated. And that brings us into a whole different complicated realm of what would ultimately happen to that employee. But the employee must also have a reasonable expectation that if they are, for example, in a high-risk workplace, refusing to be vaccinated, your employer has the right to then enter into discussions with you about how you'll be reasonably accommodated elsewhere, because they have an obligation in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act to keep you safe.
Got it. This all makes sense, I suppose, for me to read the policy of a company before I join it, you know, and then I can make the call constitutionally and within my rights to say, I don't want to work for a company that makes people take vaccines. You know, this seems to be the tricky part, is people who are already in there, right?
Yes, but those people can also be rest assured that the directive protects them as long as they have valid reasons.
Okay. Anli, thank you very much for this insight. Director of Employment Law Practice at Cliffdecker Hofmeyr, Anli Poseidonhout, thank you very much for your insight and expertise. It's 8:30 and time.